It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Western Wisconsin is losing some healthcare options without a lot of warning. Hospital Sisters Health System and Previa Health are closing down operations in the region, including doctor's offices and two hospitals. A week from today, according to the schedule, Sacred Heart Hospital in Eau Claire and St. Joseph Hospital in Chippewa Falls will officially close, along with a network of primary and specialty care clinics. Nearly 1,400 employees are expected to be laid off. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you live in Eau Claire or the Chippewa Valley? Will these closures affect you and your health care directly? Do you work in one of the affected hospitals or clinics? And if you're not in that area, have you seen healthcare options close in your community? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Hope Kerwin is WPR's lacrosse-based reporter. She's been writing about these hospital and clinic closures. Hope, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Hope, as I understand it, this caught a lot of people kind of off guard. Can you give us the timeline of why this seemed to happen so abruptly?
Yeah, that's been a question that local officials have kind of echoed again and again since these closures were announced on January 22nd. They've really kind of questioned the accelerated timeline for this. At the time, HSHS had said that, you know, they were making this decision to leave Western Wisconsin because of prolonged operational and financial stress, which they said was related to kind of the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic, inflation, workforce constraints, what they described as local market challenges. So kind of citing a variety of reasons there. But local officials have really questioned, well, you know, why they weren't given additional warning beyond that 60-day notice that's required for layoffs.
Now, two hospitals, a healthcare system, this clearly is going to affect, I imagine, Hope, a lot of patients. Do we know what's happening to have them replace that medical care?
Yeah, HSHS has said and even reiterated Monday that they are working to kind of ensure that these patient care transitions are happening, kind of in a well-planned and safe manner. They even said on Monday that they're working with the State Department of Health Services on those. But there's been a lot of questions about, you know, whether the other healthcare providers in that region, several of them in Eau Claire, if they have the capacity to kind of take on all of these additional patients that are going to be needing care, and especially in rural areas, which is where we, you know, a lot of those Previa primary and specialty care clinics, you know, those patients that are being seen in rural communities, they're probably going to have to travel farther or, you know, kind of see new providers in different communities.
Before this announcement, the state legislature had set aside $15 million aimed at expanding psychiatric care in Western Wisconsin. Now, I understand there's maybe a scramble to use that money for some of the emergency needs here. What is going on with that?
Yeah, so the state legislature worked really quickly to approve that $15 million for initially emergency department expansions. Now, Governor Tony Evers, he about 2 weeks ago used his partial veto power to allow that money to be used for other services. Where that kind of stands is the Joint Finance Committee has to release that funding to the State Department of Health Services. They've yet to do that at this point. We've seen, you know, the governor urge the JFC twice now this week to go ahead and release that funding. So that's kind of where that funding lies right now.
A lot of people up in the air now, patients, staff, and more. Hope, what are you watching for next in this story?
Yeah, it'll just be really interesting, I think, all of the different kind of domino effect of these closures. I've been talking with different county health officials or different county officials about kind of the different impacts, everything from, you know, Chippewa County used St. Joseph's as their primary morgue. And so now they're having to find a new place to, you know, if they need to store a body or, you know, do further examination, you know, they have to find a new place to do that. So there's all these small impacts, you know, that's not really small, but, you know, these other impacts that are happening because of the closures that I think, you know, even the community doesn't quite know exactly what all of those are going to be yet.
Hope, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
Hope Kerwin is a reporter here at WPR. She talked to us about hospital closures, two of them in Western Wisconsin, effective a week from now. Now the head of a Wisconsin hospital organization joins us for a look at the challenges facing hospitals, including in smaller cities and rural areas. 195 hospitals in rural parts of the country have closed recently, according to research from the University of North Carolina. That doesn't include these newly announced closures in western Wisconsin. Eric Borgeting is president and CEO of the Wisconsin Hospital Association. Eric, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Before we look more specifically at Western Wisconsin, Eric, what are some of the challenges that are behind this trend that's leading a lot of rural and smaller town hospitals to close?
Well, it's a combination of things. I loathe continuing to look back at the pandemic. But I think what if I had to point to one continuing effect of the pandemic on healthcare delivery, I would say that it took a number of challenges that were out there, and there's, you know, many, and it sort of exacerbated them all, and then it accelerated them. And so you had workforce issues, you had the cost of delivering care, issues related to difficulty being able to discharge patients out of hospitals, especially to nursing homes, reimbursement related issues, demographics, and a few others. And those are not new. None of those are new. But I will say when COVID hit, all of them became worse, and they became worse at the same time. And that makes addressing those issues very difficult. And I would also say that the challenges that existed prior to COVID, they haven't necessarily improved. Most of the things I just mentioned are still significant challenges. And that includes, by the way, hospitals, which are so critical to their communities, as we're seeing play out, and we've seen play out in other parts of the state, really having to step in and fill a lot of gaps in sort of the public health space or the sort of community health and community response space, and still having to do some of those things. So I wish I could pinpoint one thing. Happy to talk about any of those, but and it's not just in Eau Claire. Mm-hmm. While I think the impacts of those things are clearly currently the most acute in Eau Claire, we've been seeing signs of stress throughout the pandemic in other communities as well.
I'll dig into some of those deeper issues. I want to focus in on Eau Claire and the Chippewa Falls area as well. Now, we've got these hospitals closing. Now, I'm reading, Eric, that other hospitals, other healthcare providers are going to try to add beds, add services to help meet some of the needs. That sounds like something that, you know, would take months at least to do, maybe years. How big a challenge would it be for other providers in the area to try to fill this gap in a timely way?
No, I think it is. It's a significant challenge. I believe it's one of the reasons the legislature focused on what it believed and what it was hearing, particularly from folks locally, was the most urgent of many, frankly, urgent needs. And that was emergency room and emergency department capacity with the legislation. It will take time to try and replace all of that lost capacity and all of those services that, you know, took years to build up and years to try and sustain. I am optimistic and encouraged by seeing the two hospitals there, the Mayo and the Marshfield Clinic facilities, really the two community sort of safety net hospitals in that community, step up as rapidly as they can. You know, they face similar challenges that all hospitals do with workforce and things like that are called payer mix, which we can talk about maybe. But I think it's improving. There's no question about it. I think there's a little more optimism today than there was, you know, a few weeks ago. But it's going to take time, especially in services like mental health and substance use treatment. Those are very difficult services to stand up and to sustain. And we saw that even preceding, might say precipitating, the news about HSHS closing those two facilities. There were signs that this was that there were some concerns and strain there when HSHS ultimately was not able to utilize the $15 million that had been made available for capital expense, bricks and mortar, if you will, to expand behavioral health and substance use care. Those dollars weren't used because at the end of the day, I believe HSHS determined that it could not operate an expanded, that expanded capacity. So that's, in my opinion, and there are others that have, you know, opinions about this, of course, but in my opinion, that's going to be, that capacity is going to be the most difficult to try and backfill, certainly anytime soon.
We're talking to Eric Borgerding, President and CEO of the Wisconsin Hospital Association, about hospital closures in Western Wisconsin, two of them closing in a week, and the challenges facing hospitals, especially in smaller cities and rural communities. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you live in a rural community? Where is the nearest hospital to you? Are you personally affected by these closures in Western Wisconsin as a patient, as an employee? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Eric Borgerding, President and CEO of the Wisconsin Hospital Association, looking at the closures of hospitals and clinics in Western Wisconsin, what that'll mean for people who are losing their current providers, and wider challenges facing hospitals, especially in smaller towns, rural communities. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have? Are we talking about you as a patient or a provider yourself? Join in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's bring on a caller now. Chris is with us in Fairchild. Chris, hi.
Hi. So I live directly adjacent to this kind of goings-on with both of these hospitals closing. And I guess my question is there something legislative that could have been done or should have been done? And then also, is it a private equity problem? Is that something? And if that's the case, I'm a little hesitant about dumping a bunch of state money into a private equity problem. And then I guess thirdly, don't communities kind of game plan or do a risk assessment if various things kind of go belly up in the community that are privately owned?
Chris, thanks a lot for the call. A lot there, Eric. First of all, the private equity and healthcare issue, this is something that I think you've talked about elsewhere. These are not, I don't think these particular hospitals were private equity owned, but this is part of the story?
You know, those are three really important points, and I hope I don't forget them. But, you know, no, HSHS, Mayo, Marshfield Clinic, no, those are not private equity owned or financed organizations. They're not-for-profit facilities. They're not-for-profit systems. Does that mean they don't generate a margin or that they don't operate at a loss like they were doing seriously in the Eau Claire area? No, they have to have a margin to stay open. They have to operate in the black. But I'll tell you that, no, those three are not private equity owned. The dollars that, and the healthcare system's not perfect, which I completely understand and know, but the dollars that are going to those facilities, you know, whatever the source of those dollars are they reimbursement from Medicaid or Medicare, which is a big part of this problem. Those dollars stay within the system. They stay within the healthcare. They're not pulled out. So to answer the first question, no, at least to the extent that the dollars would be going to the $15 million I assume we're talking about, or maybe even a larger scale, that they are going to either Mayo or Marshfield Clinic. Those are not going to be a part of someone's return on investment in those facilities. I think the other question was
about kind of communities preparing and keeping tabs on the well-being of these important institutions.
Yeah, I, you know, that's a a good question. And sometimes these things, these sorts of situations develop pretty rapidly, more rapidly than maybe anyone would have expected 3 to 5 to 10 to 15 years ago. Again, I am indeed loath to talk about COVID, but that really did accelerate a lot of these challenges, some of which you can't address through legislation, right? So, for example, this wasn't necessarily accelerated through COVID, but our demographic challenge in the state, you know, we're a very, very aging state. And why do I bring that up here? Well, that's because that affects in the hospital world, that affects what's called payer mix. And so that payer mix means, you know, who is reimbursing the hospital for services? Is it Medicaid? Is it Medicare? Is it commercial or private insurance? And as you have a aging population like we do in Wisconsin, that means you have more and more people covered by Medicare, which, you know, sort of notoriously under reimburses for the cost of services. So that's a contributing issue. So go ahead.
Oh, I want to thanks for the call, Chris. I want to bring in some more callers. Bethany is with us in Durand. Bethany, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to share with us, Bethany?
So I have two children who have traumatic brain injuries, and it is critical that they receive speech therapy, physical and occupational therapy. And Prevea in Eau Claire was the only pediatric one in the area, and now that's closing. Services that are so essential to pediatrics. And so now I'm having to look at driving all the way to La Crosse if I can find and get on the waiting list and find someone that will take their insurance, their Forward Health, or I have to go all the way to Hudson. It's a really a critical piece that I really wish they would address in the Eau Claire area, the need for pediatric services.
Bethany, thank you. So sorry to hear that. Best to you and your kids and your family. Eric, a specialty service like that, a pediatric speech therapy, in this case, something that might get lost in the shuffle here and require patients like Bethany to go a lot further.
Yeah, and I hear Bethany's concerns. I really do. I think in a situation like this, it's almost sort of triaging, and I know that's a very subjective approach, but it's almost kind of triaging and getting input, which there was plenty of and there has been plenty of, about what needs are the most immediate. And for Bethany, obviously, her needs are immediate and now as it relates to her children. But, you know, expanding access to emergency care has kind of been, you know, issue number one or priority number one. And I think that's where some of the resources are being targeted, at least at the state level. Now, you know, the governor did sign that legislation. As your reporter noted at the beginning, he did through his line item vetoes expand the types of services that $15 million could potentially be tapped for. He also, through his line item veto, expanded the geographic region that those dollars could be used for. And so it remains to be seen how impactful the dollars will be. It's my sense that the Joint Committee on Finance, which was mentioned earlier, might have make some changes to those parameters to keep them more focused in the Chippewa Valley or Eau Claire and Chippewa counties, and maybe even more focused on certain types of services. But this is a difficult situation. There are so many needs out there. And I'll tell you, this illustrates the importance of these community safety net, not-for-profit hospitals. They, and the clinics that are connected to them. People sometimes, not Bethany, she gets it, but people sometimes view a hospital as kind of what goes on within the walls of that hospital, and don't fully, and I don't blame anyone for this, don't fully appreciate all of the services that a hospital or a health system support well outside the walls of the hospital, and what it takes to be able to do that and continue to do that, and you know, the loss of the mental health and the substance abuse treatment capacity is an example of that. And I also, you know, we've We haven't seen a hospital close, just outright close its doors in this state for probably 14 or 15 years. What we have been seeing slowly, incrementally, are our services shrinking. And not just in rural areas, but in predominantly rural areas. So loss of 5 or 6 labor and delivery programs in Wisconsin over the last 2 years, the loss, and that's not even counting Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls area, loss of behavioral health, inpatient, outpatient, substance use disorder care, those closing, and they're connected, maybe connected to or supported by a hospital. It's just getting very difficult for some hospitals in Wisconsin to continue sustaining all of those, you know, and especially when you look, look at the HSHS hospitals in Eau Claire, you know, their margin, their 2022 margins, okay, profits, if you will, were St. Joe's was -16%, Sacred Heart, -47.9%. It is, and Marshfield similarly, and as well as Mayo, not quite that bad, but in the red. I'm not, you know, crying or whining about that. What I'm saying is it becomes very, very difficult to sustain all of these services that, by the way, no one else will do, except the hospital when reimbursement and expenses are what they've been in the last few years.
And we'll have to leave it there. Eric, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
That's Eric Borgerding, president and CEO of the Wisconsin Hospital Association. He talked to us about the trend of rural hospital closures across the country, with 2 in Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls scheduled to close a week from today. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network.